Hi, everyone. Welcome to the 18 Summer Show. We are your hosts, Jim
and Jamie Shields. We're here to help you bring family back.
In the last decade, we've helped thousands of families create the family life that you have always wanted.
We give you simple solutions on how you can ignite your family life and succeed in both business and at home.
And please remember, time is of the essence. You only have 18 summers to truly connect with your children.
So let us help you make the most of it.
Hello, 18 Summers Tribe. We're here today with our good friend, Kim. We have a mutual friend, again, Glenn Marston, who is just such a treat. So I always know anyone that he introduces us to, we will absolutely love. So welcome, Kim.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
We're glad to have you today. Now, guys, Kim has not only authored two of her own books, but she has co-authored 13 books,
that's
which is not
impressive.
Not something she talks about often. Apparently, she's quite a humble person as well. So a few things I'd love to brag on her about is being a gifted intuitive with over 15 years in divine communication. She's also a confidence expert, business and life coach, and number one best-selling author and award-winning TEDx presenter. Amazing. Yeah. Congratulations on that. She's
married
to a soulmate of 22 years and has two daughters. How old are your daughters?
They're 8 and 14.
Oh, good ages.
So fun. We have teens and toddlers. So.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. We also share a passion of animals, travel, and living by the ocean.
Oh my gosh, all of them. I'm a mile from the ocean.
All of the above, check.
Yes.
What's your favorite place to visit?
Italy, I would say. Italy, I've been quite a few times, but then like more locally, I love to go to Cambria, which is Central California.
Okay, I've been to Cambria, yeah.
Yeah, isn't it magical?
Yeah, it's very magical. A little sharky feeling when you're out there surfing with the hood on. You know,
yeah, weather. I don't go surfing there.
Yeah, beautiful little spot though.
Yeah.
Well, Kim, can you tell me a little bit about how you guide others into this beautiful intuition that you've cultivated and learned for and practiced all of these years? How can you really learn it? You know, how can we help build those muscles within ourselves and use them in our relationships? Because one thing that I find that I'm excited to learn from you on is how to increase the people around me's awareness of my intuition. I don't know if that even sounds right, but the fact that sometimes I hear this little thing and I want to see if it's valid and I want to ask the question or I want to say the thing, but there's a part of me that's afraid to be told, no, you're wrong. So how do you guide others through this?
Right. I think that it's very common, I think, for like when I go speak somewhere or if I'm talking to a mastermind group and I'll say, how many of you feel like you're really good at knowing your intuitive abilities or knowing when your intuition is correct. And a huge percentage don't believe it or trust in it. And they want to know more about how to develop it. And so I think like, it's funny you mentioned animals, because if we sit and watch animals, we can actually pick up some of their instinctual and intuitive abilities and thus learn it for ourselves. So I definitely suggest watching animals or being somewhere in nature where you can just kind of breathe in nature and observe the birds, observe the animals. That's going to help. Definitely practicing. And so you want to practice knowing when you're right. And so you might imagine that where your heart is, you have a scale. And when you're making a decision, the scale is going to have either like a physical feeling or kind of like a vision of going up or down. So you might go, oh, am I meant to go to lunch with this person today? Am I meant to work on this project? And you'll know because that inner scale is going to go up or down. Hmm. And you could go even deeper and oh, I predict that so-and-so is going to call me today. And just see, like, get your mind kind of going to where you're open and you go, who's going to call me today? And see who floats into your mind. And everyone has intuition in different ways. So for me, I'll get intuitive messages. It's hard to explain, but it's almost like the right top part of my brain, there's an extra sense there. And I'll get like messages and I'll feel actual feelings of knowing something through that area of my brain. And so it's just a lot of it is being hyper aware and being in the now and noticing and going, how many times have I been right this week? You know, what was I right about? And making sure your children don't lose it, like noticing when your children have it and praising them for that, because they usually have it. They haven't lost it yet.
So I think those are all great tips.
Very good tips.
Visual, the up and the down. And I, when you're even discussing it, I can feel not just the visual, but like, wow, I do have that sinking feeling sometimes when I'm making a decision versus the elated feeling when making a decision.
Sure.
So kind of like that scale that you're saying, it can be visual, but also that physical, does it bring you down or does it bring you up?
Right, right.
And now when you say, you know, modeling this for your children, and I know leading by example is something that you teach your clients. Now, how can you lead this by example? How can you help increase those muscles in our children?
Yeah, I mean, I think that for me personally with my kids, I've always just been really open and talked about everything and not hid things from them and explain things that I'm doing. Like if I'm intuitive about making a decision, I'll explain it to them. I'll go, you know, I'm really getting strongly that we shouldn't go to that spot, you know, to visit those people until 2 more weeks. Why, Mom? Well, I just have this strange feeling about it. I don't know why. And sometimes even when we don't know why, we have to trust that feeling. And they've seen that with people. Sometimes we'll meet someone and we'll get an uneasy feeling. And I'll say, you know what? We really can't spend time with them because I can't stop getting this kind of a dread feeling. And so they've learned from watching me and listening to me to make their own intuitive decisions about people and about what they do and what they choose to do. And even about what's right and wrong. Like, oh, it felt wrong. My friend wanted me to cheat on that test. And I got that yucky feeling. And so even though it's a moral thing, but it's also an intuitive thing, like I'm going to feel bad if I do this. And so it enhances that for them. And so I think it's really a lot of just leading by example, reading them stuff sometimes that either write or I find on the subject, and that helps too.
And do you think with kids or all people, is intuition more of like a pre-wired gift that only some people get? Or is it something that everyone has and it just has to be worked? I've always wondered that because Jamie has always had incredible intuition, like almost like she's just a natural. And it's something that I think I have awareness, but not the level of intuition. So I've always wondered if it is just some people have and other don't, or everyone has, it just has to be worked.
Right, right. Great question. I believe everyone has it. It's a sixth sense that we are all gifted with, but I think that it can get covered up. And I'll give you a quick explanation of that. Let's say when we're born and when we're a child, we're just pure love. Our heart is open. We have that sixth sense abilities. Let's say for Sam over here, she has a teacher act really mean to her and say something negative and doesn't believe in her. That's one layer that forms. Then she has her parents get a divorce. There's another layer that forms. Then she gets bullied. Another layer forms. And if later when she's older, she doesn't work on healing those things and doesn't work on removing those layers and getting to her true core and like, I didn't deserve for those things to happen. I'm still a beautiful, wonderful person. Then that ends up having the person be kind of blocked and covered up and less likely to be able to access their intuition. And the same thing goes for people in ego. When people are too much in ego, too much about material things or status, or not really knowing who their real true core is, then that's another way to block intuition. So I suggest the more you work on yourself and the more you remove those old beliefs and old behaviors and layers, then you're going to get closer to your intuition.
It's really interesting. And that's good to hear. We start fresh. It's the layers that get on top. So for our kids, that's good clarity for me. Like, hey, this one's intuitive, but this one's not. We love them the same, but they both have it. Maybe one is easier to develop, but they both have it. That's a really good distinction.
Right, right. I think part of it is believing and knowing you can use it and have it and that it's okay. And many people block it because they're afraid of it. And I think it's important to mention that you can put it out there how strong you want it. You can say, okay, I want to have guidance on positive, helpful, healing issues and guidance and what to do and what to say yes to, but I don't want to receive anything about death or illness or something terrible because I can't handle it. And so to put that out there, it really works. It really helps. And then you don't have to be afraid of it.
That's good. Yeah. I remember hitting a time in life where I pieces of things because I didn't want to hear all of it because I was afraid of what it could be. Just
yeah,
the trauma I had experienced in childhood, I think that I was just like, I don't want to hear anything bad. And so I think
yeah,
I turned my frequency off. And then it's just taken, like you said, some of this healing and some work that you have to really do to be brave enough to look at, to then get back to the knowing.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I wonder if there's anything we can do real time that if we know our children are suffering through something. So you referenced, you know, like all these layers that develop. So what if we do have a setback? Because setbacks are really, I mean, honestly, part of life, right? And so if we do experience something like a traumatic event, a divorce, a death in the family, how do we guide ourselves and our children, you know, back into that space of like, and I say ourselves, but you know, I worry so much about our own children. I'm like, oh, I know how to kundalini that shit out of me. But right. What about my children? Like, you know, they're experiencing something, but how do I help buff that layer out? Do you have anything that comes to mind?
You know, simple things would be, well, maybe not simple, but practical things would be to journal about it, to talk about it, to mention to them other people who have experienced that so they know they're not the only ones. And also telling them that they have permission to feel emotions. It's okay to feel fear or scared or angry, to let them know that it's okay to be messy, or like Glenn Marsden talks about, imperfectly perfect. I think that's important. And to tell them also that a lot of times when we go through something terrible or traumatic, that it actually makes us have more abilities and more wisdom. We're able to help others. And then that's going to help them go, okay, wow, maybe this is, I can't see past this right now. But in the back of their minds, they're going, okay, this is going to give me something good, you know, and give me gifts later down the road.
That's beautiful. That is to hold in the back of their mind, like the possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
I really, really like that. I often think that my traumas are a superpower because of exactly what you're saying. They kind of make you in more intrinsic,
right,
because you have to be. So that's really
right. And Glenn himself said that when we go through traumas or hardships, that they're really horrific and horrible while you're going through them, but then they're amazing once you get out of them. The gifts you receive.
Now, how about parenting our daughters? I know you have two daughters. We have three boys and one daughter, and she is like the three other boys. They don't even equal one of her. Like, she is so strong and powerful and just all fire. And so how do you raise strong, confident girls in a time like this?
Right. I think it does go back to letting them express themselves and making sure they express themselves. And so going, like, I'll go in their bedrooms and say, you know, what negative or low vibration or frustrated feelings are you having right now? But then I'll shift it after they get those out. I'll shift it into, okay, what are you grateful for? What gifts are you getting? What are you happy about? What do you want to do in the future? Do you believe you can do that in the future? So really just talking to them like an adult and showing them respect and not sheltering them. Because I think the more we shelter them, the more they're not going to be prepared for the real world. And so, of course, there are certain things you don't need to bring up, but I'm saying in general. So I have found that trying to find ways to keep things as positive and normal as possible, you know, getting creative, and then making sure they have self-expression. Because if we don't have us too, as adults, if we don't have self-expression, then we go stagnant. And how many of you guys have found that you know a friend that goes, oh, I used to dance, I used to do art, I used to write poetry, I don't know, it's been 12 years and I don't do it anymore. Well, those are the things, even if we're not amazing at it, those are the things we need to get out some of our frustrations, to get out our passions, to activate being open more to good things coming in. And so I try to make sure with my kids that they're involved in stuff like theater, dance, you know, my 8-year-old plays the drums, doing art at home, stuff like that, I think is really important as well.
Oh, beautiful. Just letting them get that expression out any way that they can.
Right.
I love that, because I do think so often, you know, as I said, our daughter is all fire and she has more emotion than the other boys put together. And I think sometimes girls get labeled, you know, we're whiny or we're bossy or we're needy or, you know, but really what it is that we are trying to express ourselves. We use so many more words than males do to get the same idea across. You know, I love what you're saying, just to use the body to get some of those things out. Like we keep talking about, clears that intuition and allows those good things to come in.
I also teach them that, and this is something for adults as well, think about each project you're doing or who you're spending time with. And of course, there's the things you have to do, so that's different. But in general, what your choices are, and go, do I want to do this or be with this person? 0% to 100. Mm-hmm. And if it's less than 100, why? Let me ask myself that. You know, am I doing things and being with people that make me feel alive, that feel aligned with me, that make me feel uplifted and supported? And so teaching them that, it helps them set boundaries and teaches them to say no more and not be a people pleaser. And so you can learn to set those boundaries and still be kind about it. So you're not labeled as a, you know, a bad word. And instead, you're just in your power with it.
Oh, I love that. In your power with it. And now all of these things are really great. I so appreciate, you know, hearing how we can flex those muscles and encourage our children and clean off the muscles if they get a little dusty. How do we operate with our intuition within a relationship? I know you've been married to your soulmate 22 years. As parents together and parenting together, how do you, you know, like I shared with you before, I might have a feeling and I can be vulnerable enough with Jim to say, this is what I'm feeling. Can you be honest enough to either confirm that my intuition is on spot or that it's not? Because it's such an important role between spouses that we are really attuning, and to win with children as well, each other's intuition. So if I ask Jim a question and he were to say, no, actually, that's not accurate, I'd say, my intuition was off. But what if he wasn't honest and my intuition wasn't off? I mean, this is a huge dance that we play. And so one thing that we, you know, really try to honor in one another and with our children is if they have a suspicion, have an intuition, that we really just be honest enough with each other so that we can really tune in to ourselves and to each other.
Yeah.
You know, I see the challenge with other people. I think for me and my husband, first of all, we both have chosen to grow together. So we'll read similar books. We'll go to similar seminars. We communicate like crazy. And through the years, we've been together 25 years. And through the years, there's been a couple times where there was some roller coasters and, you know, some hiccups. And overall, it's been very good. But those times we've had to learn that communication is number one. Like, you have to be vulnerable and communicate your feelings. And I feel like you have to also have that gauge of, am I giving 100% as much as I can? Of course, I'm going to have an off day or a moody day once in a while, but we have to be giving that 100%. So then when we do communicate about our intuition, or we each have an intuition, we're able to be in this like shared energy where we trust each other. We can read one another. We get it. We get each other. But what I see often with clients is that one spouse maybe is totally closed to that and isn't into that at all and thinks it's weird. And then the other spouse is really into that. And so they have a miscommunication and then they don't agree on parenting or they don't agree on what's going on. And so, you know, hopefully you can make that relationship still work. And what I've seen that helps and works is finding that respect for one another, finding the things that you do match on and growing from there. I had a client that she had gotten really evolved and deep and very intuitive, and her husband wasn't at all. And she would describe it like he kind of almost stayed like he was 18 or 20 years old, but she didn't want to leave him no matter what. And so we dissected it, and she was having so much trouble finding that common ground. And what happened was she realized he loved to watch the History Channel. And so she started watching it with him and getting into it with him. And he started to feel this respect and admiration from her. And they had this thing that they did together. And so she got him to start watching Tony Robbins videos. He started to kind of grow a little deeper because they had found that common ground. So I think there's always a way, most of the time at least.
Well, that's good. I mean, we really share a lot of those same books and ideas and seminars. Not identical, but a lot. So I think that's good to hear. I mean, it's so simple, but profound. Like, well, if you're growing and learning in the same things, you're going to grow together. And deeper.
And be open to one another's growth, right? Because it is so important. You know, if you're doing this together, it's great to both be upwardly moving.
It is. It's important.
Now, we always ask our guests a final question, 75-year-old self. And it's something that came through the pandemic when, you know, shit was crazy. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that, Jim talks about not being as intuitive as I am, and yet he gets, you know, great downloads of wisdom. And one day he took a little space because we brought in two extra children during the pandemic. So we had a 2-year-old, a 3-year-old, a 4-year-old, a 5-year-old, and 17. So he, you know, understandably needed space from time to time. And he would take space and I would get tense, and he would take space and I would get tense. And it was just kind of how we were communicating. But in that moment, he took space and he came back and he had this great idea.
I love the question, you know, what would you tell your 21-year-old self? And that's really good. But I needed more wisdom for myself at that moment. I was like, well, what advice would my 75-year-old self give to me now? You know, running through business through the pandemic. Now we have more children. You know, it was heavy load. I just sat there and thought about it and kind of meditated about it. And it was a really good exercise. Now we do it with so many people, including Glenn, and his answer was profound. And it's just something we like to ask, you know, what do you think that advice would get of the much, you know, older Kim, wiser Kim? You know, what advice do you think she would give to you now and to others now? It's really brought about some really cool observations.
Wow. Okay. Awesome. I love it. Yeah. I've been asked that before the other way around.
Yeah.
What would I tell my younger self? But I've never thought of it that way. So that's really cool.
What would your older self say to you now, do you think?
Reversed. Yes. So I'm sitting on a porch, 75 years old, talking to me. I'm 47 now. I would say to the hardships are worth it, because they create so many gifts and so much wisdom. And wow, you've been able to help so many people. So as you go through anything, just look at it with gratitude any way you can. And as you're going through it, find the gratitude, look for what's positive, embrace every moment that you can, take mental pictures and regular pictures of your children's lives, because they will not always be right there with you every moment like they are now. And I would say to give 100,000% as much as you can to your love life, your soulmate, because that's someone that's going to be with you step by step all the way through. So appreciate them, respect them, and love them.
That's beautiful.
Embrace the hardships because they bring about many gifts. That was really powerful. That was your first line. And then obviously before, but that one just stuck to me.
Yeah. So. Aww, thank you.
I really love the reminder to really love and dear and appreciate the one that you choose by your side, because, you know, honestly, like the pandemic showed us, you know, it reveals a lot of things. The heat was turned down, the pandemic comes, heat gets hotter, and sometimes we learn that we can't handle the heat. So I think that it's a beautiful thing to just honor and love the person that you've chosen to be with, if that's, you know, your mate. And so that's a great reminder as well, that grace and courtesy that I know is needed to be extended time to time, but sometimes more in stressful moments. So thank
right.
you. Now, how can our listeners learn more about you?
You can find me at kimlifecoach.com, Instagram at kimlifecoach, and Facebook at Kim Summers Eglesey.
And now you have a podcast of your own with
Yeah.
Now tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I have a podcast called Talk, Purpose, and Truth, Shifting You into Higher Consciousness. And we're on every platform. And it's really, there's a lot about mental health awareness. And then we also talk a lot about, like, celebrities will come on and tell really vulnerable stories of how they triumphed over something. We go into things like how to get away from drama friends, how to get through fear, how to utilize the law of attraction, and things like that.
That's awesome. I'll have to start listening. One of my favorite podcasts, I don't know if you listen, is Mystic Michaela. She reads.
Oh, I haven't heard of that.
Oh my gosh. I think it'd be right up your alley. I love
Ooh,
it.
Ooh, okay.
I'll send it to you on Insta because, you know, it's good stuff. It's really.
Yeah, yeah. We can do readings and channeled messages on our podcast as well.
Oh, wow. That's That'd awesome. Be fun to watch.
I love it.
Yeah.
Well, I'll start listening. I love it. So, well, thank you so much for being here today. Thanks for sharing your wisdom and bringing it to our tribe. It was really nice.
Thank you. It was totally fun. Thank you so much.